KCIM is the place to listen on 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.
This is KCIM Carroll.
KCIM Sports presents the Pizza Ranch Saturday Morning Coaches Show with Sports Director Jeff Blankman.
Thank you very much, John. Good Saturday morning, everybody. Welcome here to the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show. We're going to be talking here shortly with Ryan Steinkamp, who has led the Kemper Knights back to the Dome for the first time since 2013. They knock off Cherokee last night. We'll also recap the outstanding volleyball season for the Kemper volleyball team with head coach Rusty Wintermote, and we'll talk with Sean Burks. Nick Brinks caught up with him Thursday night after Audubon knocked off Iowa Valley. You'll hear him talk about the Wheelers heading to the Dome. They'll play on Wednesday after their win on Thursday night. But let's start with the scoreboard, as it was quarterfinal rounds in Classes A all the way through 5A last night. And of course, we'll start in Class 2A. Kemper down at Cherokee, 43-26. It was an offensive shootout early. Kemper got a big defensive stop on a fourth and a goal from the 5-yard line, or on a fourth down play from the 5-yard line. They stop them. The Knights go down and score to make it a two-score game. They went for it on their own side of the field on fourth down and got it on that as well during that drive. They would go up by two scores. Cherokee kept it tight. They were running the football all over last night. But the Knights extend it to a three-score game. It kind of went 3-2, 3-2 in the second half. And the Knights do pick up the 43-26 victory. Jaron Hoffman carried it 32 times for 200 yards and 5 touchdowns. Griffin Glenn had 5 catches for 97 yards and a touchdown. A lot of those were critical third-down conversion catches. He also had 9.5 tackles, saving some big plays offensively for Cherokee in that first half with his defense. Brock Mading, 13 of 22, 239 yards, 2 passing touchdowns with an interception. He also had a rushing touchdown. And Braxton Vanami, 5 catches for 106 yards and a touchdown. Kemper again over Cherokee, 43-26. The rest of Class 2A, Wilton down Prairie City Monroe, 21-14. Van Meter over Mid Prairie, 28-21. And Osage got by Alburnett, 12-7. In Class 1A, it was West Lyon all over Underwood, 57-22. Grundy Center down Beckman Catholic, 21-0. South Hardin almost doubles up Trainer, winning it 27-14. And Regina blows out Pleasantville, 49-7. Class A, MMCRU got by Woodbury Central, 42-6. St. Ansgar routes North Lynn, 49-21. West Sioux tops ACGC, 24-14. And Wapsie Valley knocks off Lynnville Sully, 22-16. Class 3A, Nevada over Clear Lake, 24-14. Solon beat Winterset, 21-6. Wallert Catholic all over West Delaware, 27-6. And Helan knocks off Sioux Center, 35-14. In 4A, it was Xavier beating ADM, 45-7. Newton blows out Gilbert, 42-14. Sergeant Bluff Luton routes North Polk, 55-15. And Pallet tops Decorah, 7-6. And in 5A, Dowling Catholic shuts out Iowa City West, 35-0. Waukee Northwest over Sioux City East, 48-34. It was Valley edging Johnston, 28-21. And Iowa City at Liberty slides by Southeast Polk by a final of 31-28. Pairings released last night. Kemper again going to play Saturday, November the 15th, a week from today at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. They'll take on Wilton in the opening round. We'll have that broadcast for everybody on Kick 106.7. Coverage at about 12:20 with the Brinks Exterior Preview Show and kickoff at 1 o'clock. At 10 o'clock that morning, it'll be Osage against Van Meter in the other 2A game. The other games that Saturday in Class 3A, Bishop Helan against Waller Catholic at 4 o'clock, and Solon against Nevada beginning at 7 o'clock. On Wednesday, again, it'll be Audubon taking on Bishop Garrigan. That'll be in the 8-man at 10 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday. I'll have that broadcast with you again on 93.7 KKRL. Pregame at around 9:20 with a kickoff at 10 o'clock. Following that game, it'll be Woodbine against Gladbrook Rhinebeck at around 1 o'clock. On Thursday in Class A at 10 o'clock in the morning, St. Ansgar against Wapsie Valley. Following that game at around 1 o'clock, it's MMCRU against West Sioux. The 4A games will get underway at 4 in the afternoon Thursday with Sergeant Bluff Luton against Pella and Xavier taking on Newton. And then on Friday in Class 1A at 10 in the morning, Grundy Center battles Regina. And around 1 o'clock, it'll be West Lyon against South Hardin. And then the 5A games are Friday night. Valley takes on Dowling Catholic at 4 o'clock. And at 7 o'clock, it'll be Waukee Northwest against Iowa City Liberty. We'll step away, take a break. Ryan Steinkamp set to join us next. We'll talk about Kemper's win last night over Cherokee when we come back with more of the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show here on KCIM.
Hey, moms and dads out there. Let Pizza Ranch make feeding your family fun and affordable. Every Tuesday night, kids 12 and under eat free. Whether they love the pizza, chicken, or mac and cheese, you'll make them all happy. When you're on the go with sports, church, or, well, just life, come in for a quick and delicious buffet. The best part is, they'll do the dishes. Pizza Ranch makes family meals fun and fast. For delivery or carryout, call 792-3456. Pizza Ranch, just off Highway 30 in Carroll.
Whoa, that's good.
Got a busy day? Let Champion Ford make your car service easy. We will pick up your vehicle, take care of your oil change, brakes, or repairs, and bring it right back. That's right, free pickup and delivery for all your service work. No hassle, no waiting, no problem. Give us a call today, because at Champion Ford, we go the extra mile so you don't have to. Champion Ford, where everybody wins.
Back here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show on this is Saturday morning. Jeff Blankman joined right now by head football coach Ryan Steinkamp of the Kemper Knights as they advance to the Dome on next Saturday. They're going to be playing in the semifinals with a nice 43-26 victory last night over Cherokee. Coach, appreciate you joining us. Congratulations on a nice win last night.
Absolutely, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
You bet, Coach. You guys knew this was going to be a challenge. What did you see, and what was the difference, do you think, that your team had last night?
I mean, our kids just play so hard, and they play with heart, you know, and they do a great job of understanding the game plan and executing. They're just really coachable. They're great kids, they're coachable, and we get on them sometimes, but they respond well, too, and that's just really happy of how our guys responded, because obviously Cherokee did a lot of good things tonight. It made us look silly a few times, but our kids kept responding.
You knew they were going to come out and run the football. How'd you guys try to adjust to what they were looking to do?
We put in the eight guys in the box, you know, we tried a few different defenses, and they definitely caught us a few times, and, you know, they have a really good line, a really good quarterback running back. Then we kind of just, you know, they caught us on the pass a few times, where we wanted to keep them, not able to run as much as possible.
The first matchup, 44-28, somewhat of a shootout. Did you anticipate that again? Because to me, especially in that first half, this was a shootout.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the scores the last few weeks, too. They've been putting up some points, and their defense is good, too, but they've been giving up some points as well, too. So they've had some high-scoring games and stuff, but they're overall a really, really good team.
How important was it to take that first drive and march it down the field, and what was really nice for you guys probably, establish the run game right away?
Yeah, that's one thing we wanted to do. We want to get that run game going. You know, we had to play a little bit of defense with our offense. You know, keeping the ball, time of possession, things like that were huge.
Is that something that you guys talk to the kids about before the game? Is, hey, we've got to keep their offense off the field as much as possible?
No. It's the kind of thing where, you know, coaching wise, you know, if we're able to run the ball, you know, like we don't need to stop the clock and run passes. We kind of talked about a little bit, just the way that, you know, because the Paulser kid's so dynamic that, you know, there's sometimes there's nothing you do to stop him. And, you know, he's just a great athlete. Where, you know, it's just a way that we could control the clock a little bit.
Yeah, you guys marched down the field and scored, and then they came right back and did it in six plays. It looked early on like maybe you guys were running past him just a little bit and stuff, trying to get into the backfield and maybe over-pursuing. I think I talked to you a little bit about that, and you were concerned about that before the game started in our pregame interview. Did you see that early, or was I misreading some things?
First half a little bit, we definitely made some adjustments. You know, we made a couple of adjustments that really helped slow our D-line down. You know, it's one of those things that's easier said than done. You know, we have some great D linemen that, you know, are aggressive, but sometimes that being aggressive leads holes sometimes too. But I thought the second half they did a great job of coming back from that.
The game kind of went back and forth there. You guys get up 13 to 7. They're driving. Take me through that fourth down play. They had to measure. So what was your heart rate like, or were the guys kind of indicating, hey, we made the stop?
I mean, it was within inches. I mean, that was obviously a huge play too. And I had confidence in our kids all night. I knew, I kind of talked to them ahead, like, guys, they're going to get plays. They're a really good team. That's really good players. Like, they're going to get theirs sometimes. It's like, how are we going to respond? And I kind of told them we have to get a couple stops each half. That was kind of our big talk. Like, we got to get some stops.
What was the difference on that fourth down play to get the stop?
I think our D linemen just did. We told them to just blow it up inside the middle there. You know, sometimes when our D linemen got upfield, they got to our linebackers, and so we definitely did a better job of clogging it up, and our linebackers could flow a little better.
You guys responded, had to take over at your own 5. You go 95 yards, and it kind of started. You went for it on a 4th down. You didn't set up like you were going to punt, but you guys have been pooching all year with Brock, so you came out in that look, and I think you caught them maybe anticipating that pooch punt from Brock, and you guys get the big run from Jaron. What was the discussion about going for it there, especially deep in your own territory?
Brock looked at me and goes, "We can get this." I'm like, "You know what, you know, when our kids don't want to be aggressive and they know, like, you know, he just says, we got this." And I just kind of, like, rolled the dice, like, "You got it, bud." And, you know, as we kind of knew this game, too, we knew we were going to have to be aggressive in this game as well.
And he seemed like he wanted to go for it every time there was a 4th down last night.
Yeah. We like to, you know, it's kind of a numbers odds game. You know, it's like, you know, you get the ball in the possession, like, you don't want to give it back to them. And that's when, you know, a lot of times our goal, you know, we always say, like, get short yardage. You know, we put ourselves 4th and 5 and 4th and short. Like, you know, I like our guys. I like our kids. I trust them that we feel like we can, you know, put some pressure on the defense that way.
You guys extend it to a 2-score lead. They go right back down the field and cut it to 21-13. Coach, they're at the end of the half. There's like 50-some seconds left. You guys throw the interception. They had an opportunity there to maybe tie it before half and then get the ball in the 3rd quarter. How big was that defensive stop and that kind of diving, you know, falling down interception from Braxton Vanami?
Yeah, that was huge. Kind of like you said, like, they were scored at the end of the half and got the ball back. You know, that would put them in a very good situation. So that was a great play by Brax and some great pressure by Brayden Alford.
Take me through the defensive call on that. What did you guys expect them to do, and what'd you call?
I just knew they'd get some pressure, and Bray's fast. I put a kid, too, so I just sent some pressure on him. And then we knew, kind of DBs, you know, we knew that we only had 3, maybe 4 guys in coverage, and we'd be outnumbered. We kind of said, get back, you know, get the ball in front of you so you can drive on plays. And we kind of said, if we get pressure, he's going to float the ball sometimes. So Brash just made a great play in the ball.
Coach, you're up at halftime. You know they're going to get the ball to start the 3rd quarter. What was the message to the guys at half?
0-0, go win the second half. And I told him, it's going to take heart. We made a couple of adjustments here or there. But it's like, you told him, it's just going to take heart, guys. Like, you know, it's going to take everything you got, laid off all to the line, too, and the kids definitely did that.
You mentioned that you told the defense you needed to get a stop or two each half. There was a stretch there late in the first half to start the second half where they had 3 turnovers on 4 possessions. The other possession, of course, was the long touchdown run from Paulsrud, you know, on that 28-yard scamper after the long kick return. So is that what you were kind of wanting, is the defense to just get those kind of stops? And that was a critical part of the game because you guys ended up extending that lead to 3 scores.
Yeah. I mean, we talked to them, like, you know, like, we knew that once we started stopping the run a little bit, like, when they're, like, we kind of thought about, hey, when they're in that pile, like, we got to strip that ball out, too. And I think we caused about 4 or 5 fumbles tonight, and that definitely played a huge role in the game, too. But that credit goes to the kids, too, because we talked about that. And they were hungry and relentless out there on the defense.
What'd you see from your offense in the second half? I had you guys well over 400 yards in offense, nearly 500. So what stood out for you about the way the offense played? Because you were able to run and throw.
Yeah, just execution. You know, the kids just communication between the kids and us about what they say, didn't do. You know, like, no one's playing hero ball, trying to make big plays. You know, we're able to run the ball, feed off each other too. You know, just working together. And minus one little hiccup on the goal line. You know, we had a little confusion. We had a little confusion there. That's going to happen in high school sports. So now I thought everybody just kind of executed on the same page.
Defensively in the second half, I thought you guys took the Lavelle kid out of the game a little bit. He was hurting you in the first half. What did you do differently defensively against him? Paulsrud still got his, but you were able to kind of contain the Lavelle kid.
No, just kind of widened the outside linebacker. They're really hitting us on option, so we kind of just widened the outside linebacker to kind of take that pitch relationship away a little bit.
Look like you guys, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, brought Nash Leonard in, moved Sean Healy to the inside, and Lucas Deal to the outside. Did I read that wrong, or was that a move you guys made?
That's what we did, yeah.
Coach, you know, to get this win, what's this mean for this group of kids? 3 years in a row, you get to this round, can't get through, and tonight or last night, you break through.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, that's something, like, you know, just so happy for them. You know, we don't talk about those kind of things. Like, you know, it's a new team, you know, a new year, and, like, they have their own goals, and they say we talk about every game at a time, too. And now it's kind of like, hey, guys, that next game, hey, it's at the Dome, so it's pretty exciting, too. We kind of talk about, hey, staying hungry, you know, and things like that, too. And, you know, next opponent, we'll get ready for them and get ready to enjoy it.
And, Coach, we'll talk next opponent here in just a moment. The pairings are already out. You probably know that. But I thought the celebration for your guys last night, there was a lot of jumping around, but it seemed to be very subdued.
Yeah, we're excited, you know. Like we said, we talk about one game at a time type deal. It's like, hey, we're excited. We got to the next game, but it's like, you know, we want to keep improving, getting better each week.
Anything surprise you in the other 2A quarterfinals last night?
No, I mean, I have no control over this. No, I haven't really paid attention much about it. They were talking about the coaches. I'm like, I don't know, guys. I can't control it. So I don't. I mean, when it comes down to scouting time, yeah, I'll be locked in, ready to go. But no, not right now. Nope.
So what did your coaches say about the other games then? And Prairie City Monroe, that seems to be the one team that everybody kind of was shocked lost last night. What did your coaches say about that?
They just set some scores at other games and things like that too. And I told my guys, hey, let's enjoy this tonight too. I know we're gonna start grinding tomorrow morning. Again, stuff like that.
So you got Wilton coming up in the opening round. They're coming in off that win over Prairie City Monroe. They'll be 9-2 on the season. What do you know about them at this point?
Absolutely nothing. I'll be honest. That's fine. Like, we'll get up there. Like, the coaches always put the scouting reports in and things like that too. So once we get the film broken down, things like that too, we'll get to work for a game plan.
Coach, as far as getting to play on the turf up there, you guys have so much team speed. Will that benefit, especially this offense, with the way you guys are able to spread people out and to use that speed on that turf field?
I'm sure it'll help. It's definitely going to help the other teams as well. So, I mean, it's one thing that it balances out a little bit.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you joining us here today. We'll talk to you again coming up early next week to preview that game coming up on Saturday. So we appreciate the time here today. Congratulations on taking your team to the Dome.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate the coverage.
You bet. Head Coach Ryan Steinkamp again joining us here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show. The Knights again knock off Cherokee last night 43-26 to advance to the Dome. They'll take on Wilton coming up Saturday, a week from today, Saturday at 1 o'clock. We'll have that game for everybody on Kick 106.7. We'll be back with more of the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show here on KCIM.
A highlight home from Mid-Iowa Real Estate, 527 East 4th Street in Glidden. This two-bedroom, one-bath home is ready for the new owners. Sits on a good-sized lot with alley access, back deck, overlooks the yard and detached heated two-car garage, open floor plan with main floor laundry, basement is unfinished and great for storage or potential to be finished, new siding and roof, all at 527 East 4th Street in Glidden with a price of $85,000. This is Holly Schreck with another quality offering from Mid-Iowa Real Estate, so take your tour at midiowateam.com.
Hey, moms and dads out there. Let Pizza Ranch make feeding your family fun and affordable. Every Tuesday night, kids 12 and under eat free. Whether they love the pizza, chicken, or mac and cheese, you'll make them all happy. When you're on the go with sports, church, or, well, just life, come in for a quick and delicious buffet. The best part is, they'll do the dishes. Pizza Ranch makes family meals fun and fast. For delivery or carryout, call 792-3456. Pizza Ranch, just off Highway 30 in Carroll.
Whoa, that's good.
John Blackman and joined here today by Rusty Wintermoan. Of course, he is the head volleyball coach with the Kemper Knights. They wrapped up another fantastic season this year down at the state volleyball tournament, going 1-1 down there and falling to eventual champion Davenport Assumption on Wednesday in the semifinals as they go 32-3 on the year. And Coach, it's interesting because your three losses, you lose to Davenport Assumption, who finished number one in your class. You lose to Humboldt, who finished number two in your class and lost to Assumption in the championship round. And then you lost to Red Oak, who won the conference you were in, but you beat in the quarterfinals down at the state tournament. So three losses to three outstanding volleyball teams.
Yeah, that is so true. And it was, you know, the way things were setting up, John Wagner was like, boy, this sets up just like I really feel like it needs to set up that we hope that we'll see Red Oak the beginning, and maybe we'll see Humboldt in the finals and make up for those two losses that we have. I said, yeah. Oh, that'd be awesome. But, you know, we take away from that state tournament, and the girls really did play outstanding volleyball. They may run into a good blocking team that we just didn't do a good enough job of solving their issue or solving their problem that they were putting upon us. But I look at the final and say, you know what? I tell the girls, maybe we are number two because we took a game from Assumption, but we know that's not all the truth that is there. But maybe it eases the mind of everything that towards the end of the season. But, yes, you know, that's only happened once in my career when I was at my previous school coaching. I had played six teams that were in the state tournament, and those were our six losses. We didn't make the state tournament, but all our losses came from teams that, you know, were in the state tournament. So, you know, that's an honor, yet it's a what could have been kind of question for yourself and your team. But we'll accept where we're at, but and thank the seniors for what they did. But we're excited for what's going to happen next. And the fact that we played three quality teams and came close, I feel, in those three losses to those quality teams.
Yeah, absolutely, Coach. And a great run down at the tournament. Two questions kind of in one here. Any different thoughts on the loss to Assumption now that you've had a couple of days to reflect? And then the second part of that, congrats, goes out and comment on Kaylee Simons named one of the top 15 players down there at the state tournament, and Addie Entover named to the 3A all-tournament team. So a couple of girls earning some extra honors.
Yeah, and those are two girls, and there are more honors that could go out to about a lot of these team members.
Yes.
But those, you know, we'll go back to your first question in regards to Assumption and did we have any other thoughts. The only other thoughts that I wish I had done a better job would be just to communicate with, you know, in timeouts or in between, you know, set two and three and three and four. And I talk about trying to make better adjustments. And I wish we would have ran just maybe in back of my mind. It was, okay, they're getting a solid block. Should we switch to a, you know, maybe a Red Oak or a Humboldt type offense, or that's just a little bit quicker and could cause them troubles? Because, you know, I look at what teams that did beat them, for example, Dyke New Hartford, that's what they did, and they had success. And so I kind of kicked myself in the backside that I wish I would have made maybe that small adjustment in what we were seeing and maybe how we should have been attacking, because, you know, Elsa and Mariah did a great job of adjusting to that part, and Mariah started to get some kills, but then we kind of went back to what we're normally doing. So that's the kick in the butt part. I wish I would have done a better job of making that adjustment. And then your question or your remarks about, you know, some honors. You know, Kaylee, 4 years of starting, you know, over 2,300 digs. And, you know, I always tease her. I had to stop the dig count at 2,000 so somebody at least could have an opportunity to catch her. But, you know, she's deserved of everything that she's gotten. And, you know, and I wouldn't be surprised if she gets some more honors that are going to be coming up. But to be named a top 15 player, that takes a lot of people knowing who you are. And that takes stats, and that takes getting down to the state tournament for people to see you. So, you know, kudos to her on that one. And then you threw out, you know, Addie Anthover. And, you know, Addie, once we got by the CYO tournament and we made the adjustments without Brianna in there, we decided to give Addie a try at the back row and playing and allow us to see if we can use a back row attack and just experiment with it. And once we start to trust her a lot more, and she started to perform, and Addie is probably one of the most improved players from day one, actually from her first 2 years as a varsity player to this year. It's been night and day. She is just whatever, you know, the all tournament thing, she did have two really solid ball games.
Yes.
When you look at stats. But Addie has earned what she's gotten, and she's become a more humble player, knows that it's not playing for herself anymore, and it's become a great team player. So, you know, she deserved it. She really did. Obviously, I think I have a few more that I think deserves to be on that team as well, too. But you don't get those opportunities unless you do a little bit more than what we did. But you throw some other players in there, they're deserving. You know, you get to the semifinals, you got Elsa, you got Brianna, you got, you know, Colby and Mariah, you and Kaylee, and then you throw in, you know, Riley Sommerfeld, who kept coming in. You're throwing Mia, who's had a terrific year. But, you know, those two that you named, they were well-deserved in what they got.
Coach, you mentioned here a little bit ago, you know, Addie coming on after the CYO when you guys kind of finalized what that rotation was going to be after Brianna's injury. Was that the toughest thing to battle through, was her injury and kind of trying to refigure out a rotation that you were already trying to kind of figure out with a couple of freshmen starting and seeing a lot of playing time early?
Well, it you know what? It was a tough it's always tough to replace an all-stater and an all-district and all-area player, but the fact that we were blessed with kids that were had played last year and knew that, you know, we had good options going into it. And, you know, we throw Olivia Schenkelberg back into the mix of playing right side hitter and Addie playing a little bit of middle hitter and, you know, right side hitter. And then you throw Zoe back into the mix. We were fortunate we had the experience to come off the bench to replace. But, you know, you throw, Riley Sommerfeld, who started coming in more often after the CYO tournament to take one of the server seats for Addie or for or Olivia, you know, whoever it wanted to be, she just stepped up whenever we needed her. And, you know, Sophie Lorman, she got a lot of playing time at the beginning, kind of faltered off a little bit, but that was more of a coaching decision. You know, Millie, who's a freshman, Millie Anthover is the one that started out really strong, you know, and she became kind of a role player, the same as Olivia and Zoe did at the beginning of the year. And she filled that role without any complaints and just wanted to know what she could do. So was it hard? Yeah, when you replace a kid or try to replace a player like Bree, you're always going to be a little bit, oh, we need to do this, oh, we need to do that. But then when we found those kids and we just plugged and played, we realized that we had something special and that we were going to be fine. You know, we'll find a way to get those kills that Bree would bring, the blocks that she would bring. We will find two or three kids to make up for that, and we certainly did. And hats off to those that made those adjustments. Again, we've talked many times. This group had to come up with almost four different rotations. And, you know, either it could be because the coach doesn't know what he's doing half the time or being wishy-washy, oh, let's try this, let's try this. They didn't complain once. They just, okay, coach, let's do this. And then when we finally decided what we're going to do, we all agreed as a team and as a coaching staff, this is what we're going to do. And the kids did their job in practice, did their job through the postseason. And we were fortunate to get where we were. But you got to have the horses to do it. And we had kids that were horses in the sense of just work hard and be what the team needs you to be, and is what we were fortunate with.
Coach, what was it about the CYO tournament that it sounds like that's where you guys kind of found what you wanted to do and everything started to click?
Well, it was our fourth match against Bishop Heelan, when we knew they were a very solid team, just kind of a team hanging outside the rankings, but we're in the rankings most of before that, and then the teams that they played. So we knew, nothing against the three teams we played before that, we just didn't feel comfortable the way that the 6-2 was running, and we needed more consistency, and I needed another blocker in there, and, you know, to kind of take the replace of Bree. So when we decided to go to more of a 5-1 with Elsa and then put Olivia Schenkelberg in there, it was just one of those things that said we've got to get more consistency to the hitters, but we also got to get another blocker in there that was going to help us out. And that was really kind of our decision. And then it was coming up with where we're going to put people in the rotation. And so needing another blocker and a hitter and then just more consistency with, you know, a single setter that was going to have, especially with back row attacks with Addie and, you know, Olivia was used to Elsa. So, you know, it's not that we had to, but we felt like we needed more consistency in those two areas.
Coach, the other kind of weird thing was your guys' schedule this year. September the 20th, you played up at Galen at the CYO tournament. After that, you went to Atlantic for a triangular, to Glenwood, to Lewis Central, to Harlan, to Sergeant Bluff, Luton to wrap up the regular season. So for pretty much an entire month, no home matches.
Well, yeah, and of course, that was pretty much the schedule. And triangulars kind of hurt us a little bit, but you know, the one thing that when we talked about after Sergeant Bluff Luton was that what we got out of our remaining schedule is that we got to play. We had to go be those road warriors. We kept talking about being road warriors, and not a lot, but we just said in order to be well and to do well in the postseason, and you're going to see different opponents, we really need to be show we can play on the road, because once we get to if we have an opportunity to get state, it's going to be a road warrior. But, you know, you think you're going to hurt in attendance and people watching you, and just because you're not playing at home, which you feel bad for the seniors. But we also enjoy going to someone else's place and demonstrating our skill in front of other people and showing what we were all about. Because, you know, if we hadn't gone to Sergeant Bluff Wooten, would there have been that many people that come down to watch these kids? Or Atlantic and Shenandoah, would those people have traveled up to see us? And we just looked at it. It was an opportunity for people to see who we were, and to do what we did in playing ability, because the kids just stepped up, because you get away from yourself. You always wonder, can the kids play at that same familiarity with each other? You know, if you're at home, they've got those surroundings. But when you're on the road, you're playing. You know, I know it's volleyball. It's a little bit different than, you know, some other sports. But when you're on the road, you don't have anything that's familiar. You may have the lines on the court, but you don't have that familiar background. You don't have the familiar sounds. And for the kids just to block everything out, and that's kind of what we had to do, is block everything out and the noise about the changes we made and how are we going to respond to each other. But the road was actually, you know, a fun experience, because it got us ready for after regional play. So there's pluses and minuses to it. But, it's just a darn if you do having that schedule. But, you know, God bless, next year we'll have a more heavier schedule and we'll figure out that as well too. But they became road warriors, but they also got to prove to everybody what they were like to people that may not have been able to see them.
Coach, best win of the year. You mentioned the Sergeant Bluff Luton trip there late, last game of the regular season. The rematch with Red Oak in the quarterfinals, or the Unity Christian matchup that sent you to state. Those are the three that jump out to me. You may have a different one. What was the best win for you guys this year?
Oh, I don't know. I don't disagree definitely with your choices, but the one that really kind of started it all for us, in my opinion, was the Lewis Central match. That was, I would have to add that to your list. Lewis Central is one of those teams that we always know we have to show up. They had some really, even though they replaced some really good players, they had an outstanding front line. And that was one of the first games we really had to work on stopping a middle hitter. And what was our defense going to be, you know, like? And how are they going to accept the changes we make in our defensive scheme? And from there moving forward, I really feel like that game had a lot of importance and remembrance on how this season went, because of what the changes we had. And just the fact it was Lewis Central, they're leaving the conference, and the idea that it's always a good match. You know, Glenwood falls in there too, but Lewis Central was just that match where we really feel like that kind of was a change in our ability to understand the game, their ability to just make adjustments as we needed to. And it became a trusting part of the season. Realistically, to me, they started to trust a lot more with what the coaching staff was telling them. And they started to trust what each other needed to do and just realize, who cares if we made a mistake? We were going to have another opportunity to get that swing. And when you have the players that start to look at each other, because I told you when we won in that regional final against Unity, it was hard to hear. But you can see they were doing the same thing they did that night that they were doing starting somewhat maybe in Glenwood, but mainly in that Lewis Central match, because it was fairly loud. Not as loud as the Unity, but it was loud enough that whenever you tried to voice what you wanted, they couldn't hear you. So you could just kind of see in their eyes that their eyes were up and they were looking at each other. Sometimes you don't get that out of players and when they're dealing with each other. But there was a sense in that huddle from about Lewis Central on of eye contact, and what we preach all the time, eye contact in describing what you need to do and what you want to happen. And that, to me, I would add Lewis Central to your discussion on that.
Coach, four seniors, all of them extremely, extremely valuable. What are you going to miss about those girls?
Oh, my. Well, you've got three kids that started you know, three seasons or four seasons, and you got one that contributed a lot for three seasons. And, you know, you've got, you know, Kaylee, who breaks the school record in two situations. You got Bree, who came in, you know, is at the, you know, top two in blocking. And you imagine if she'd had her blocking for the games that she missed, where she would be. And, you know, for the one thing really that's, you know, probably the most important that I'll take out of those, you know, out of those kids is that, you know, you take Kaylee, who is such a coachable kid, who always just wanted to do the best for everybody that was around her. It never really meant anything to her to do what she wanted. It was, you could just tell she was going to be a born leader from day one as a freshman when she challenged all the seniors in a loud voice, especially her sister. You could tell you had a special kid there coming in. Bree is a very workaholic kid, and she's another one. Just, Coach, what do you need me to do? And eye contact. And I tell you what, when we brought in Kara Peter this year, or Kara Berg, that was the best thing I think that really had happened to Breanne in her high school career, because she got the ability to just learn from somebody who has been at that next level. And Bree was absorbing everything, even when she was injured. She was watching at every drill that you know we would have for the hitters and blockers. And then when she had to came in and had to finally play, but take a four-year starter and know that your middle, or when she started, she was kind of an outside and a right side, but you're just going to miss her blocking ability, her coachability, and just a fun-loving, you know, first two kids are just, all the kids are fun-loving, but they were there. They didn't miss anything, and you don't find that in a lot of kids. And then you throw Elsa, who her freshman year got to play a little bit, but you could tell she wanted to play a lot. And then you throw in the fact that finally her sophomore year, she got to play a lot more, and you could see the leadership starting. And then her junior year, she really wanted to run a 5-1, and I just wouldn't listen to it. And I wanted to stick to my old guns and allow some other kids to play. But she just kept talking to me and talking to me. But I kept saying to her, you learn how to block, we'll go with it, and we'll think about it. And Lord, you know, God bless her during this last summer. That's what she came in, did those extra things to become a better person in the front line. And for someone that just, she's a kid that desires success. And this year was, you saw a change from previous 3 years. She just was a vocal leader. You know, she was doing things on the court. We always talk about coaches on the court. She was doing things on the court that were guiding kids, you know, players into, okay, this server C wasn't working. You roll over there. You roll here. Way before we ever did. So it was that coach on the floor. So we will miss that going into next year. We'll have some big shoes to fill with that. And then you throw Olivia Schenkelberg, and, you know, probably the team favorite. And here's why I say that, because, you know, Olivia could have shut down because of this beginning of this year and until she got an opportunity. And then at the end of the year, kind of went back, and she did nothing wrong. But she was always the kid, Coach, what do you want me to do today for you in practice? Coach, do you think I'll get in? I say, well, Olivia, we'll see what happens. And, okay, just let me know when I can go. And it was always a happy attitude. But the best part that I ever saw about Olivia had nothing to do with playing time, is that when she was on the sideline this year, with those younger freshmen, she became that mom of the girls. She's down in state tournaments. She's telling them, okay, when we do this, when we cheer this, I'm going to do this. You follow along by doing this, this, and this. Or she became part of the cheering crowd. She became one of the happiest kids on the outside showing everything. But, you know, Olivia was one of those, we kept calling her. Her nickname was Wally. And she demonstrated a lot her sophomore and junior year that gave her the ability to play them as much as she did. But, you know, I will remember her senior year from a year as a kid that just did whatever the team wanted. And so you're going to look at four kids that were truly, truly, in my mind, team players. That, sure, they wanted individual things to happen for them, but most of the time, if not 99% of the time, they were dug into whatever the team wanted. Because when I would throw in a freshman, they would just look them in the eye and say, okay, here's what we got to do. Let's get it done. So it wasn't a worry. It was letting everybody knowing coming in that here's what we're doing as a team for this serve receive or this server, this setup on our offensive scheme. So that's what I'll remember most about those four individuals.
Coach, could be loaded next year again. What's the message to the girls coming back?
That we got to be humble, that it's going to be very hard to replace the four seniors leaving, and that I'll ask them again, but they'll bite into it. You know, you return, you know, two outside hitters. Everybody's going to key on them. We will return, you know, Addie, who's going to be very flexible in what we want to do with her, and we're going to give her opportunities in other spots, and then bring in a Millie who's played before. But just, you know, we may feel like we have a lot coming back, which we do in experience, But it's going to take an off season of just like we did this year. This year, we knew we had a good group coming back, a top five team, but we also knew what we had to do during the off season to prove that. The message has got to be the same way. I don't care what we have coming back. I love everybody's going to come back, but everybody needs to know that this team is built on, you know, consistency. On it's built on a culture of what we're trying to do, and the transparency of a coach always saying we've got to do this or I need you to work on this, and them to be workaholics and still be kids during the summer. But our season has to begin in next June when we get together and start working on things, and them knowing that they're the ones in charge of getting everybody there, because I had four seniors that really made it a point to get everybody there. And I think that's the message that'll have to be put out there. I need this year's seniors to do the same thing this last group of seniors to do. And in order for us to have the ability to get to what we just did, it's going to take a lot of kids committing to doing, you know, what we've done in the past and accept roles. So that'll be the challenge. That'll be the fun part. But yet we're all excited. We're all trying to figure out what we're doing next year. And it's like, all right, let's just take a week off. Just relax. Let's put something together later on. But that's what we're going to have to do as a team is make sure everybody is aware of what we're going to have to do this off season before we start, you know, obviously in next August.
Well, Coach, again, we thank you for everything all season long. You're outstanding to work with, so we appreciate everything. Appreciate you joining us again all of these Saturday mornings here. So enjoy the weekend. I'm sure you're going to go see the grandkids, and we'll catch up with you again here on the 16th.
All right. I appreciate you, and I appreciate everything Carol Broadcasting has done, and you've always been our good luck charm. And I, again, enjoy my Saturday morning discussions because we get to talk about a lot more than just volleyball, and we can talk about kids, and everything you guys do for these kids is may not go as noticed as it should, but I think it is noticed by a lot of people because I get lots of conversations from people. Hey, we heard you guys on the radio Saturday morning, so you are being heard and you are being seen, that's for sure, sir.
Well, head coach Rusty Wintermode again joining us here to recap the Kemper football season. We'll be back with more of the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show coming up next here on KCIM.
Dries Company, a family-owned electrical and mechanical contractor, is in search of experienced HVAC technicians and plumbers for service and commercial work. These are full-time positions with excellent benefits, providing exciting opportunities for career growth. If you're motivated, have outstanding work ethics, and safe work practices, this is the perfect opportunity for you. Apply online at driesco.com. Join the team at a growing company that values and rewards integrity and hard work. Dries Company, celebrating 92 years in business.
Tis the season to bake at your Carroll Hy-Vee. Today through Sunday, 16-ounce Hy-Vee butter, only $2.49 with a limit of two. Hy-Vee cream cheese, just $1.28. And Hy-Vee pretzels, only 99 cents for 10 or 15-ounce bag. Start the holidays off right with the baking essentials from your Carroll Hy-Vee.
I'm Nick Brinks in Marengo, and we are chatting with Audubon Wheeler head coach Sean Burks for the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show. They get a 26-19 win at Iowa Valley. Congratulations on this win. You come in, you knew, you got the long road trip, a pair of undefeated teams, the 5, the 4, going at it, trading haymakers throughout the night. You guys get the win. What a night, and give me your thoughts overall and how you guys felt and played tonight.
Extremely happy for the kids. It's a four-quarter battle. We knew it would be. We haven't seen many of those all year. So for our kids to take the initial shot and bounce right back, get the lead, keep the lead. I thought there were some really big individual plays in the game, but more than anything, as you look back, you know, just so many guys doing their job on repeat defensively, you know, and a little bend but don't break. But, you know, Austin coming up with a big fourth down stop. You know, the group gang tackle on another fourth and short. Just, you know, Jorgen goes out and Mason has to play corner and Carson in at safety, not something we rotate and plan a lot for. And those guys did enough on the last drive. But just defensively tonight, really proud of our kids locking in and slowing down a team of that caliber. And I think State got it right. That looked like 4-5, and it was a great game. And we'll be thankful when we look at the film and see how many things we have to clean up that we got away with a win. But that's what, you play a good team, they're gonna force you into some mistakes too.
A little bit of a shaky start on the first play of the game. Iowa Valley passes deep 65 yards. looked like you guys were just expecting the run, and they played pass. What did you see on the first play?
Just a blown assignment. Our kids knew that. You know, Mason at safety, just, you know, a sophomore, big game, big moment, just kind of got frozen a little bit. And you get flat-footed with a team like that, you're not going to make that up. So he knew what he did. He knew, and he didn't make the mistake the rest of the night for the most part. So you live and you learn. But our kids did a good job of taking the initial blow and battling back and responding. And I didn't let that define the night.
After that touchdown, on the ensuing kickoff, you guys fumbled the kick return but were able to jump on it. That could have been a huge momentum swing right away if they get the touchdown and create a turnover within 15 seconds. But thankfully, you guys were still able to jump on the ball. You drove down the field, and it was dramatic. It was fourth and about 24, and you connect to Austin Christensen on a Kiergaard passing touchdown for about 31 yards. A lot of adversity just on that drive.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those where we were in no man's land, had to go for it. Fortunately, they played kind of just a solo coverage, didn't keep anybody else back. And, you know, Aiden throws a great ball. Austin's an athlete, and huge, huge play when you look back now.
Up 8-6 at that point, and then you guys go, and the rest of the first half, you get a couple more touchdowns. You get one in the first quarter. You get the 30-yard run from Aiden Kiergaard, and then mid to late second quarter, you go and get a 61-yarder from Kiergaard. So down 6-0, up 20-6, and then you get one more there, I think, before halftime, if I remember right. That was the only touchdown in the second quarter. So you go to halftime up 20-6. What was the mood like at that point?
Yeah, we knew we'd deferred. We knew that we had a chance to get the ball to start the third quarter. Really wanted to go punch it in and take care of business there and really try to, you know, gain that momentum and keep the foot on the gas. Unfortunately, it didn't quite go that way. We only scored one touchdown in the second half and let them back in the game a little bit, but that's what good teams do. But, you know, proud of the way that we gave the first touchdown, didn't give up any points the rest of the half. So that was our defense settled in quickly.
Nolan Kriegel, their star quarterback, you guys had him contained in the first half. He did have the touchdown pass, but he didn't burn you guys on the ground. Coming out in the second half, you guys burned them for a deep ball, and Austin Christensen had about 15 yards or so on the nearest defender. What'd you see on that pass play that you guys were able to take advantage of to go up 26-6?
Oh, you know, we see from a lot of teams, you know, really selling out to stop the run. And we talked at halftime that we thought we had to look for it, and we got it, and the kids executed it. It's always good when you talk through it and you get it and you execute it like that.
And then they start coming back. Nolan Kriegel, you knew if you could keep him contained all night, that would be a win for you guys. You kept him contained for a good two quarters. Third quarter, he started to eventually start finding some seams. He gets free for a couple touchdowns there in the third quarter, a 20-yarder and a 35-yarder. On those two drives, anything stick out for you, what he was able to do?
The third and long up our sideline was just blown assignment. A couple guys sucked inside a little bit. They'd been running enough inside lead, and he just pressed his foot to the outside. And our kids, you know, they're better than that. They know that. And you miss an assignment against a kid like that, and you pay for it. And that's that example for there right there.
Fourth quarter, you go in leading 26-19. You come out of it leading 26-19. There were a whole lot of big plays in that fourth quarter. I know there were some fourth down stops. The one that Austin Christensen blew up, I think, on fourth and short. You talked about the one where there was kind of a gang tackle on fourth and short that you were able to stop them. Maybe the play of the night, the punt from Hayden Larson. The punt, the snap goes over his head, and it could be them getting the ball at the 20. Instead, he's able to punt it away somehow. He chases it down. Instead of jumping on it, he punts it, and it rolls to the 20. So that's a 40-yard field position difference. What was the sideline like watching that? And then once you saw how it turned out, how did everybody react?
You look back now, and that's a huge, huge play. And we knew that at the time. It was a big play, but you don't realize how big it is until you look at the end of the game. But you know, Hayden, you know, people don't give the lineman credit for being an athlete. The kid's an athlete. Watch him in baseball, watch him in basketball, watch him in track. He's an athlete, and he did a great job of understanding that you can't just jump on that in fourth down. You have to try to pick it up and make a play at that point in the game. He did just that, and not only got it off, he got some roll on it. And one of my coaches, I don't know which one, and after the initial sigh of relief, I don't know which coach was in my ear, said, well, and the good news is that took an extra 5 or 6 seconds off the clock, coach. Like, okay, yeah, glasses half full now again. But initially, man, that was a sweat.
He also, I think, had two or three sacks on the night, and Brody Weber knocked down a couple big passes, including one on fourth down. Defensively, I know those three were the three guys that really stood out to us. Who else stood out for you guys on defense?
It's such a team effort. You know, the guys up front, you know, Hayden, Brody, and Isaac have done a great job all year. Austin and Carter at linebacker. That's a tough team to play linebacker against, because if you don't set the edge, you don't flow hard enough. They beat you to the edge and they're gone. You overflow and you force that backside DN to really make a one-on-one tackle. The cutback lane was there a lot, or they tried to press the cutback lane a lot, and I thought we did a really good job of keeping that. It's such a team effort. You know, they run to the edge and our corners have to take on blocks. You know, they go to the pass game, play action game. They try to beat you over top. But just an overall outright team effort. It was outstanding.
Let's talk about the last play of the game. 2 seconds left, fourth down at about 10, and they come out kind of a wildcat look. You guys call the timeout, and then they come out. What'd you see, and how did it play out? Larson ends the game on a sack. I think it was fitting.
Yeah, we wanted to just see, you know, we knew we had a timeout or two in the bag, and we wanted to make sure we got the best chance possible. And we wanted to identify Kriegel. We wanted to make sure Aiden Kiergaard got on him, just our best coverage guy at that point in time. And then we wanted to talk through with our linebackers and DBs, just get to the goal line, identify a penalty is better than a completion at this point in time. You know, let the D-line just pin your ears back and go. If you flush them out, they're going to have to throw it or whatever. And pretty fitting that our D-line came up with a big play at the end.
You'll get Bishop Garrigan on Wednesday. Sounds like a 10 o'clock start. Obviously, you're the 5-3-2-1 all make it to the dome, so you get the one seed. If you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. What do you look forward to in that matchup on Wednesday?
Yeah, Garrigan's a great program. Coach Wadley does an outstanding job. I know him from my time with my current time as well on the IFCA board. They've been the team to beat all year, and I know they're big and they're physical and always well coached. So, well, it'll be a good test for us. We'll pull up the film, we'll get busy, and we'll get to practice on. We'll do film and practice Sunday, and feel like a short week when we get to Monday, and the game's already on Wednesday. So, luckily with the ride home tonight, we can start diving in a little bit on the bus.
You do get the nice long road trip tonight. You get the nice long road trip next week, but it's the road trip that everybody wants. You'll be in Cedar Falls. We look forward to seeing you there. Congratulations on this win. You're back to the Dome for the third time in 7 years. And for this senior class and the guys playing now, it'll be their first chance to go to the Dome. I'm sure you guys talked a little bit about that throughout the week. What's it like to get to the Dome? What was that conversation like?
We've talked openly. We set goals. We set lofty goals, and this group has been working for it for more than 6 years. A lot of these kids have been playing Warrior football since they were in fourth grade, playing together all throughout that time. And so happy for our kids to have earned this. You know, I thought our groups the last couple of years did a really good job getting us back on the map, setting the edge, and now I think they did a really good job of. And I'm really happy that they're getting to that point now.
Enjoy it, and best of luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Sean Burks, head coach of the Audubon Wheelers. They get a 26-19 win at Iowa Valley in the 8-man quarterfinals on Thursday night.
Oh no, car won't start? Don't worry, Champion Ford has you covered. When the cold keeps your car from waking up, we'll come to you, jumpstart it for free. And if it needs a little extra care, we'll pick it up, service it, and deliver it right back to your driveway. Pickup and delivery is always free. Stay warm, we'll handle the rest. Call Champion Ford. We go the extra mile so you don't have to. Champion Ford, where everybody wins.
A Highlight Home from Mid-Iowa Real Estate, 527 East 4th Street in Glidden. This two-bedroom, one-bath home is ready for the new owners. Sits on a good-sized lot with alley access, back deck, overlooks the yard and detached heated two-car garage, open floor plan with main floor laundry, basement is unfinished and great for storage or potential to be finished, new siding and roof, all at 527 East 4th Street in Glidden with a price of $85,000. This is Holly Schreck with another quality offering from Mid-Iowa Real Estate, so take your tour at midiowateam.com.
Hey moms and dads out there, let Pizza Ranch make feeding your family fun and affordable. Every Tuesday night, kids 12 and under eat free. Whether they love the pizza, chicken, or mac and cheese, you'll make them all happy. When you're on the go with sports, church, or, well, just life, come in for a quick and delicious buffet. The best part is, they'll do the dishes. Pizza Ranch makes family meals fun and fast. For delivery or carryout, call 792-3456. Pizza Ranch, just off Highway 30 in Carroll.
Whoa, that's good.
Back to wrap up our on this Pizza Ranch Coaches Show on this Saturday morning. Do want to congratulate again the Kemper football team. They advance to the Dome next Saturday. Again, they'll open up against Wilton coming up at 1 o'clock next Saturday afternoon. We'll have that game for everybody on Kick 106.7. Coverage again about 12:25 on Saturday with the kickoff of that game at 1 o'clock. Congrats also, as you just heard from Sean Burks, the head coach from the Audubon football team here a little bit ago. Wheeler's advanced on Thursday night. They'll play coming up next Wednesday. We'll have that game for everybody. That's an early morning game on 93.7 KKRL. Kickoff at 10 o'clock. Our pregame coverage as they take on Bishop Guerigan will be at around 9:20 on Saturday morning. Want to wish the best of luck as well today to the Carroll Girls Swim Team. They're at their state qualifying meet. That is going on up in Ames later on today. We'll have a Brinks Exterior Sports Report recap story from that. I'll also get the football game from last night typed up, and I'll get that on in the Brinks Exterior Sports Report at sports.1380kcm.com coming out a little bit later on today. Thanks to Ryan Steinkamp for joining us after they win last night. Rusty Wintermode, the Kemper volleyball coach, also joined us. We recapped their outstanding season. And John Burks from Audubon, the football team there, also joined us. We'll be back with one more Pete's Ranch Coaches Show coming up next Saturday, and that'll probably wrap it up for the fall. Then we'll take our break until the winter sports season gets underway, which basketball, girls basketball games start November the 20th, so we're not very far away from getting that started. But appreciate everybody joining in here today. Stay warm, stay safe, and have a great weekend.